this one. It's a little like three tenths of an inch.
I thought we were done with the small talk. Otherwise, I...
We had the ice machine back here. We didn't hear you. No.
Psalm, go to Matthew 18. No. Matthew something. Yeah, Matthew 18.
Nothing is sacred, Jeff.
Snooze, you lose.
Yeah, I see.
Snooze, you lose.
Now you're hiding behind Neil, though?
I'm trying, so he will not be able to.
I want to take one more look at this strange, this series of strange scriptures. But anyway, let's go to Matthew 18. Verse 3. Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God.
Where are you? 18:3.
Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whoso therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And who shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. Now, as you know, I believe this is talking about that state in early childhood when there is innocency. And that... And to become as that little child is what sanctification is about. And it's a troubling scripture to anybody. Except you be converted and become as that little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now how does that what's somebody's response to that? Anybody? Gary, you always have a
response. It's comforting. It's very comforting.
To become as that little child in the innocence.
Because you don't have to take yourself seriously. You don't have to buy into your own crap and think you're important and all the stuff that the world would like you to become. And then there's some confidence that Jesus said it. If that's the case, then that overrides a whole lot of...
That overrides everything else.
Everything. So it's like, wow.
Well, at the risk of nominating myself as the alternate target, let's also know those impossible things that God asks that we can't do anything.
I didn't...
Impossible.
Well, it's impossible by the mind standard, but if you ignore the mind, then it becomes as natural as breathing.
Well, also, little children, at least before the point of awareness, aren't filled with judgment, hate, pride.
Right. It's all... That's why God created the time before the terrible twos. So that each time we see a child, we can understand this. Except you be converted and become as this little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is the demand... That isn't, there's no options. There's no other way. No.
What's the Greek word that translates converted then? The Greek word that is translated into converted? Converted seems a strange word.
Converted is means converted from you become a believer, you become a Christian. You take on the name of God. Name of Jesus Christ. That's what conversion means.
I know what conversion means. I'm just interested in the translation and what other meanings that word might mean besides being translated.
Oh, I don't know. I'll look it up. Remind me to.
Yeah, That's an interesting question. I was wondering if it's like transfigured. You know, that would be the same word.
Well, I think it is.
No. She can miss one of you people with a dumb machine can look that up.
Okay. I think converted means
converted.
Real repentance.
Well, it means becoming a believer. It means being born again. It means all those things.
One of the things that it means is that instead of holding on to all of yourself, you repent of that and you are then converted into becoming innocent as a child, and you're converted. You're a different thing.
Well, the question is,
abandoned.
Yeah, the question isn't what happens. The question is, what are the words? Other words, does the Bible use for that Greek word that's converted? And I don't know. But I'm sure it doesn't mean all that you just said. I mean, all of that is right, but it's... All right, let's look at some of the... We're going to look at a couple of places. Go to Hosea chapter 8.
Well, also, holy, if you convert often, you turn away from the old, your old self.
Yeah. Well, you know, as we've talked about many times, no matter when it happens that you were converted or born again, born from above or born from the first estate, it's celebrated always on Passover. That's the day that you are betrothed to God.
Okay, are you interested? The word is strepho. It means strengthen from the base, to twist, turn quite around, or reverse, literally or figuratively. Convert, turn, again back against self.
Turned against self.
Where's the source of that?
Basically turned against self.
Turning against self, yeah. Turning against.
Let's go to Hosea chapter 8. Have you found chapter 8 of Hosea yet, or are you still thinking about it?
Sorry, I had to climb out of my gum machine first.
Gary, have you found Hosea?
Yeah, I'm waiting for you.
You're waiting for me? Verse 1, set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry out unto me, my God, we know thee. Israel has cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made them idols. They may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, has cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? Now, that's still the question that God has for us. How long will it be until we attain to innocency? And we've talked about this many, many times over the past few years. But it is based on everything we've studied recently, it seemed to me that we should look at this again.
I have another thing about it. It's that we, I guess, purposefully stop believing the lies that we've bought all of our life. If we can figure out what they are, almost everything, I suppose. Because innocency doesn't hold any positions.
Innocency doesn't hold positions.
Well, we've learned, as we've talked about many times, we've learned to be prudent. We've learned about, so I talked about this last night, we've learned the concept of zero. That's a man-made concept. With God, there can be no zero. And that's I'm not going to study that tonight, but okay, let's go to Daniel chapter 6. This is Daniel's statement after he was thrown into the lion's den and the lions ignored him, or at least they seemed to be friends with him. And that kind of blew everybody's mind. But anyway, and then he's saying in verse 21, Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. So he shut the mouths of lions because of innocency. That's pretty big. So again, the plaintive cry of God, how long, how long, how long ere you return to innocency? And it's return there because you were once there, before you had the awareness of self as an independent being. So how long, how long, how long ere you return to innocency? Amen?
Tonight, we're having a birthday party for Ellis, who turns one, and who is innocent, and as cute as he could possibly be. His brother, Ross, little Ross, is about four, and he is outrageously bad. Just terrible. He needs a leash and a bit.
We're going to look at a number of scriptures now about silence. And so let's go first to Romans 3. This one is especially written to Tom. Well, first in Romans 3, it describes the best of us. Okay? So start in verse 9. That what then? Are we better than they? Talking about the Jews. No, and no wise. For we have before proved that both Jew and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now, this is an indictment of the human race, all men, all women, from God's perspective, this was a description of you at your best. Now, if you can accept that, then repentance can become true and real. So did you find anything to contradict that when you read ahead, Gary?
I'm reading behind, actually. I was trying to get the context and set that up.
All right. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But if you don't know the law, you believe there are things that you do that are not sin, or not of sin. But if you read the law, if you just read the requirements to keep the Sabbath, we are all guilty. If we are judged by what we think, which we are, then we're all guilty before God of the most atrocious things. So that this is that every mouth may be stopped.
Especially when Jesus said, if you thought it, you've done it. You know?
That's why I said yeah. That.
Just to follow up on what I was looking for, I found in that this is all written to the fallen man.
It's written to us.
Which we are.
The human race.
So if you don't believe the human race is fallen, you won't believe this. But
well, I don't think there's anyone in this room, and maybe even listening, that could not believe that was them.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go now to Zechariah.
First one there, all around.
Right after Haggai. Thank you,
Ryan. 7:17.
Chapter 2. Can we just get to it?
Okay, go ahead.
You there?
No, I can't find it.
It's right after Haggai.
You guys have different Bibles.
We're going to have to start doing those sword drills. Is that what they're called? Especially for at least one of the elders.
Mr. All Thumbs.
I learned the song.
Spiritual Sherpa.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Be there. Well, you can go backwards, but let's just look at one verse. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy heart.
Where did you go?
Book of Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 13.
13, okay, sorry, I didn't fix that.
You didn't say it.
Try to keep up.
Well, let's start in verse 10. Sing and rejoice, O daughters of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and they shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the Holy Land, and he shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. Now, the reason you're silent here is because he is raised up out of you. And you now are the vessel, the temple of the living God. But the only way that the temple has any purpose is for you to be silent. In that temple. Can everybody buy that?
Can you say that again?
Hmm?
Can you say that again? I didn't quite get that.
You are the habitation of Jesus Christ. The only way he raises up in you, the temple of God, is when you're silent before him.
Okay, so I'm silent before him when I guess repentance is...
No, when you're silent, when you're silent.
Silent when I'm...
When there's silence in the temple.
I'm not giving breath to anything.
There's silence. You don't have to put anything else to that. What?
You're not even thinking about all the steps.
Well, there's not silence then.
Yeah, and you're working. I just saw something that I think is just big about the little child. A little child believes. I mean, there's the innocence is all correct, but a little child will believe. He's not encumbered with all kinds of programs that we put on our kids.
That's how I always interpreted it.
Actually, in 4. I've never been taught about the innocence thing, but I was always under the impression that that meant trusting God, because kids will believe anything that you tell them.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, but again, it's this is why we have to see that his disciples, he defined what a disciple is. You are they that continue with me in my test.
What verse is that?
Luke 22, I think. Oh, my pages of my Bible stick together.
How many times do we watch a new one?
Shut up, Tom. Just one verse, verse 28. Luke 22. You are they which have continued with me in my temptations, or my tests. Now, his tests have no home in human nature. There's nothing that you can conceive of by your mind that would be a test. The only thing, well, you can conceive it because we've talked about it, but the only thing that you're concerned with now is the will of the Father. And that doesn't come by study, or even it comes by silence. You are they that continued with me in my test, my temptation. And that happened after he, as Son of Man, was baptized, buried. So, Son of God, that's what we have. We are this, that's where we are. So you must continue with him in his test, not yours. Your test is assumed, the flesh is no more to be tested. It's gone.
So put that together with the innocency of a child. Who, if there's something that ties those two together, and I suppose that's why you mentioned the scripture.
Yeah. It's because we think that we're going through some test that because of our own crap. That's not true.
Yeah. Okay. We've abandoned innocency and think it's our test, not his.
No, and 99% of his tests were when he was outside the camp. That's why it says in Hebrews, you're going to ask me where it is in Hebrews, so I'm going to go there. That's exactly what the test.
So
isn't
that
his test?
His test?
It's his test. But that test is he will be shaken as wheat.
Isn't that Simon's test, then?
Well, no. He's continuing with him in his tests. That's what it says. You are they that have continued with me in my temptation. It's my test. Simon, you'll be shifted as wheat. He didn't pray that he not be tested. He prayed that we wouldn't give in to it.
I'm just having a hard time understanding how that's not his test, because it seems to me that...
You mean it's not Peter's test?
Yeah.
Because of the verse that's just before it.
I know, but that seems like it's in a past tense.
You are they that continue with me in my test.
Okay, but...
But what?
It seems like you're taking it out of...
No, it's not out of context. It's in perfect context.
Well, he talks about being a servant.
And that's what you will be.
And that's, the disciples have stayed with him for that test. And he becomes the ultimate servant.
You are they that continue with me in my test. As he is in the world, so are we. No longer, flesh is no longer to be tested in any way. His test comes when he's publicly identified with what he teaches, what he believes. And that will create the test. That's why you are taught inside, or you're fed in the camp, but you bear his reproach outside the camp.
I was thinking about this whole question, and it would be fine with Satan if Peter was going to go off and do his own test. You know, what was his test? He was a fisherman. His test was, you know, how much money I'm going to make.
Well, that's what he did. When he breathed the Holy Spirit on him, he took six others and went back to their old way of life.
Right. But what I'm saying is that the difference between Peter's test and continuing Jesus' test was to lay aside, you know, being the king of everything there was and be a servant. And so for Peter to continue in that test is to continue in Jesus' test, as opposed to his own test, which would have been, let's go back and go fishing. You see the difference?
I do see the difference, but in that example, it makes me think like your own ambitions or God's will. But I'm trying to link this to like
how he says not using your mind at all.
Because you can't really afford to go back to your own test.
Yeah, but that's your own ambitions, your own, you know.
Well, there you would use your mind completely. The other way, you would, as the mind of Christ, you would continue to abandon to God all of your ambitions. You would deny self. And
you deny every time that you become the subject of your sentence. You abandon, that's a repentance. Any part of you, you or yours, that become the subject of your sentence, spoken or just thought, then you've left his test and returned to your test.
It really doesn't matter much to God whether I pass the test that is to me or I fail the test that is to me if I have abandoned the test that was to Christ.
Well, I mean, God has already declared that us not worthy, none of us, that's what we just read.
Yeah.
We can't make it into the kingdom. That's why we are born from above. But it's a new, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. And that new isn't in time, it's new in genus, class, order. You're a different being. You're not a human anymore from the standpoint of you've put off all of Adam. Now, in chapter 13 of Hebrews, I didn't even get started.
It's not about you.
In verse 13. What did he say?
It's not about you.
It's not about you.
Okay, go to chapter 13 of Hebrews.
We will grant you three rollover votes.
That is really big of you, Jeff. Wherefore, in verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate or outside the camp. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city. You bear his reproach. In the community, that's what it means. This is you're not bearing his reproach in among us, because hopefully there's a common denominator. But if you speak this outside the camp, I promise you, you will understand what his reproach is. If you identify what you are and what you believe to every person in your life, you will bear his reproach outside the camp. And that's the continuing with him and his test. It's a big test. And it's, when you have to defend what you believe, you find out what you believe. Before, otherwise you just think you believe. So today we've looked at innocency as an incredibly important thing in terms of what after conversion, and now we're looking at silence, and then we got off on a side trip about you are they that continue with him in his test. His test has nothing to do with you. You're just ordinary common flesh. The only thing about you that has anything to do with the mystery of God is suffering. Which is just exactly the opposite of what everybody else believes. This is what it means to be crucified unto the world, and the world is crucified unto you. We're going to study silence much more in the next couple days, I hope. Anybody else have any response?
I was reading before I came here this morning in Colossians 3, where mind on things above, not on things of earth, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then in 5, therefore put to death your members.
What translation are you reading?
Oh, it's New King James. But I read at home King James. This is just my study Bible. But to me, that put to death is silence.
You mortify mortify means considered dead.
Right.
Every time you think of yourself, think of Harry. That's what you are. You've never had a quick question.
Right. Subject of your sentence. What exactly does that mean?
When you're thinking about you.
All right.
Take it, big guy, quickly.